The views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Well, good afternoon, Santa Cruz. This is Richard Quigley stepping in for another Thursday United States Freedom Fighters Forum. Missed you last week. And thank all of you who called and sent emails and stuff and wondering what happened to me. It was just one of those scheduling problems I let get out of hand. I got to spend the day last week getting acquainted with another judge here in Santa Cruz County. And so I'm going to talk about that in a couple minutes. What we're not going to talk about, oh, yeah, by the way, this is talk radio. That's what KSGO 1080 is all about, talk radio. The call-in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. If you want to fax something to me, make it big so I can read it, and I'll pass it on to our listeners. And you can send the fax at 475-2967. Anyway, what we're not going to talk about today is we're not going to talk about Michael Jackson. I don't know about you, but I don't care. Self-made freak, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what's going to happen to him. I know that the news people are just having an incredible time now trying to figure out how many ways they can milk that particular news story. The other guy that we're not going to talk about is Scott Peterson. Another one of those stories that's way out of proportion, and who cares? Past the point of caring. And with all respect to Kay's Whirling today, I'm going to sway away from same-sex marriage thing, too. I'm not real interested in going down that road. I'm a little confused by the whole thing myself. So, I have an opinion, and it's pretty consistent with Kay's, but nonetheless, that's not the subject for today. One of the underlying things I do want to give you today is my understanding of a little bit about the nature of human psychology. There's a guy by the name of Skinner, B.F. Skinner, who was a behavioral psychologist of some note. Used to experiment with pigeons and rats and stuff like that. I understand he even experimented with his own kids to the point that he got a couple of them. I'm sorry, I just have to read my board. Anyway, he fooled around with his kids till he managed to make them completely psychotic. But the principles that he talked about are well-founded. And the reason that I'm talking about him is that he wrote a book called Human Behavior. And I've talked about it before on the show. It's 500 and some odd pages of what makes people tick. And when you get all done with the whole book, what you find out is that there's a basic principle to human behavior. And it is this: behavior that is rewarded will be repeated. Behavior that is discouraged will go away. And the reason that I bring that up is because the city of Santa Cruz, in all their infinite wisdom, has decided to find a rewards program for ill-conceived behavior, the likes of which I'm absolutely amazed with. I've talked to their assistant city manager. I think he calls himself Martine, although if you read it, it looks like Martin to me. Bernal. He won't talk to me anymore, but for a while he and I were chatting, and I called him up to talk to him about what's going on with the Santa Cruz Police Department and me relative to, here it comes, my favorite subject, the helmet law, which is, now I get back to where I was last week. Last week I had a demur hearing on a ticket that I'd picked up in Watsonville because the officer did not understand that what's required by the helmet law. And he can join all the rest of them because nobody seems to get that one. A few of us do, but you have to really want to before you can figure out what's going on. In the meantime, I went in there and to see Judge Heather Morse. And I've always found Judge Morris to be a fair and honorable jurist. I have an incredible degree of confidence in her. I think she's just an amazing woman. I tried my best when the last election came around for the district attorney to try to get her to step down from the bench and run for DA. She has an excellent mind. She is eminently fair. She does know how to cut through the nonsense. And very trustworthy and honorable judge. And she would have made, I think, just a stellar district attorney. All those little political battles and everything that's been plaguing the district attorney's office for decades would have been taken care of probably within the first 24 hours, because she doesn't put up with that kind of stuff. And she had been an excellent choice, but she didn't want to do that. And, you know, okay, I can respect that, but I sure did want to talk her into it. Anyway, what happened was is that the paperwork I filed relative to the ticket that I got in Watsonville stood up, and the charge was dismissed as to Watsonville and has now gone away. And the reason that that it comes up is that I, of course, I had to get in touch with the city attorney down there, because their officers are still of the impression that that a helmet cannot look like a baseball cap. And I have to be honest with you, mine does. It looks virtually identical to a baseball cap, except for a couple of things. One of them is that the logo on the front of it, there's two logos that I have on the front of these helmets. One of them is for bikers of lesser tolerance, and I can guarantee you that that is not a baseball team. And the other one is my United States Freedom Fighter helmet, and again, not a baseball team. I don't have any baseball jerseys. I don't carry a baseball bat or glove. Don't have much to do with baseball, but still in all, they think it's a baseball cap, even though the law requires I wear a helmet. I'm on a motorcycle, and I got something on my head. It seems to me that first indicator would be that it's a helmet. Anyway, so Judge Morris dismissed it. I got a hold of the city attorney in Watsonville to find out what we were going to be able to do to stop that confusion of the police department over there from resulting in more citations. And I apologize for not remembering his first name. I do remember his last. The city attorney that works in Watsonville is a gentleman by the name of Mr. Smith. And what he did was he explained to me that we'll be getting together with the police department there in Watsonville to get this whole thing settled, so that we're all on the same page as to what's expected of me. And which is 180 out from what happened with the tickets that I got here in Santa Cruz a month earlier. The tickets that I got a month earlier in Santa Cruz, the city attorney for Santa Cruz is a guy by the name of Barisoni. I think it's John Barisoni. I've got his letterhead here. I can probably look it up. Yeah, John G. Barisoni. Now, these guys are paid by the hour. And when you pay a lawyer by the hour, on the theory that behavior that's rewarded will be repeated, it doesn't take them too long to learn that if they can get a little bit of consternation going, if they can get people filing lawsuits, they get to run some billable hours. Isa called in. Hold on a second. We're going to get back to this just a second. Isa called in, and Asa, I'm sorry, I pronounce that wrong almost all the time. Asa from Live Oak, and something about a seatbelt ticket?
Yeah, listen, I want you to know that we are in our 70s. We have never gotten a ticket in our whole lives. I mean, I did get one for a U-turn once, but that's one for my whole life. So I don't know how to deal with tickets that I don't like. And I said, well, Quigley might know.
Because I'm always dealing with tickets I don't like, yeah.
And I thought, now this, we were just pulling up. Maybe we were going 10 or 15 miles an hour across after pulling away from the wharf. And this little boy came across the street, and he claimed that he could tell that we didn't have our seatbelts on from the front. We were in the process of fastening them. I mean, we had just gotten away from lunch or a point away from the pier. By the time he got to our window, they were on, and they were fastened. So I claim we had our seatbelts on, but I don't know. Point is, how does one find? And then it's $38 per person, which is $76 for two of us, which I consider grossly unfair. And I said, but Steve is a nice little boy, and I didn't want to argue with him. But I thought, well, quickly he'll know if I can find this damn thing.
A nice little boy. Yeah, from our perspective, aren't they a bunch of youngsters? I mean, it is kind of cute to have somebody that qualifies grandchild age standing there scolding you about your behavior, isn't
That's
it?
Right. I mean, but he was a nice little boy.
Well, yeah. You know, but still and all, you know, Asa, seatbelt ticket. What you got trapped in is, I was talking to one of the lawyers, as a matter of fact, yesterday from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, that's NHTSA. And I was telling him how disappointed I was in this campaign that they were running nationwide. You know, buckle up, prepare, whatever. NHTSA's job, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, was originally put together to figure out how to get all our highways to tie together. So that when you got to Interstate 10 and you were going from one state to the next, they wouldn't have it a quarter mile, you know, off to the side. And so that was their original purpose in being put together under the Department of Transportation. That was back in the 50s, and Ike had a lot to do with that. His deal was to be able to move equipment across the United States quickly. And so these interstate highways were all put together, and that was their primary function originally. Once that project was completed, which was sometime in the 60s, there may have still been some gaps by the early 70s, but by that time, the original function of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration was pretty much done. But, you know, government, you've been around long enough to know that government never stops anything. Once they open an organization, they don't ever shut it down. I don't care how useless or counterproductive they become, and that's the case with NHTSA. Now, NHTSA is an interesting group in that they're not run by a traffic safety engineer, which you might expect. NHTSA is run by doctors. And that's always excited me. The last three directors of NHTSA have all been doctors, not only doctors, but trauma room doctors, as if somehow being shocked emotionally by dealing with that kind of trauma would make them a better leader of a group of non-traumatized people relative to highway safety. I don't know what the thinking was, but those are the last three directors have all been doctors, and they've all been trauma room doctors, and they're nuts. Well, one of the things that they have is this nanny compulsion. And the nanny compulsion is, you know, that's that finger wangling stuff where they're going to take care of it.
But $76 worth.
Well, you see, and that's where the old cash cow. Excessive fines shall not be imposed. You're right. The audacity of charging anything over $5 or $10 for a non-moving violation infraction is just, I think it's just grotesque.
I mean, we're driving a 15-year-old car. We're two senior citizens. What does he think we are?
Well, I sat down there one time, and there was a young woman down there, and she had been convicted of not dimming her lights or something while she was staying in the left turn lane. And the officer down, it was Capitola ticket, wrote her a ticket for not dimming her lights or whatever. And I sort of understand why that. I don't like people coming at me with their lights on bright. But he fined her like $120 or $140 or something.
Holy Moses.
Oh, no, you need this experience, Asa. I'm not going to talk you out of going down there, because you need to go down and see what's going on. If more of us went down and watched traffic court, more of us would be inclined to do something about it.
But can I fight my ticket?
They got a book on that. So anyway, the woman, she explained to the judge that she was a candy striper, and she was just off work at volunteering at the hospital or whatever. She was on her way home, and she was disabled, and she lived on a fixed income. And this fine was just devastating to her. And he said, well, he says, then you can pay it off at $40 a month. And she said, well, I don't think I made myself clear. I don't have an extra $40 a month. At the end of the month, I'm all spent. I have a fixed income. I don't have any room. And referee Mulligan, God love him, he says, well, then we can make it 30. So, you know, he wasn't listening. He wasn't listening. And now we've got this new traffic referee down there. And Asa, I could tell you what to say to John Mulligan, but I got no idea, except yes, ma'am, as to what you can say to this new one.
Uh-huh.
She is out of the county council's office. She is a woman with whom I have irreconcilable differences. And I mean,
oh, dear.
No, we're talking about worse than that. It's worse than you can ever imagine.
Uh-oh.
She decided to get in my face one day when I was trying to track down the source of these secret files they were keeping on me in the sheriff's office. And she got in my face up there outside of county council's office and talked to me in a way that nobody, male, female, or in between, has ever talked to me in all my years on the planet. I mean,
oh, you're kidding.
Oh, no. It was the most rude, There's never been a form of life so low that anybody's ever talked down to it like that. And I mean, I was just stunned by it. I just turned around and walked away.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
a public service after all.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Exactly. So you're going to walk into a court and you're going to, I don't know that you're going to be, I don't know if you're going to be willing to plead not guilty. That's your call, Asa. You have to follow your heart on these things.
Well, you're going to plead not guilty.
Well, I have no way to give, I have to be careful because there's a thing about non-lawyers giving legal advice, and people like to look at me, you know, as maybe doing that at sometimes. But I will tell you that the burden of proof, although the burden of proof in a criminal matter, and they are supposed to treat everything in traffic as criminal, the burden of proof in a criminal matter in traffic court doesn't work. Otherwise, it would be your word against the officer, and if the officer didn't have a backup witness, you know, tough luck. Now, in your situation, there's going to be you and the other person in the car, so now you've got two people that will be able to testify to one thing and the officer testify to another. And my guess is that's going to fall back in that tough luck column.
Uh-huh.
I could give you the long version on why that is, but essentially what it breaks down to is that they've decided that driving is a privilege, not a right. And so since you're out there with their permission, and you're entered into this contract that says that they don't have to have the burden of proof that they normally have in a criminal situation. And in spite of the fact they won't point at that contract, in fact, they don't want to talk at that contract, they will rule on the basis of the rules of evidence. So if it's more likely than not or whatever, they will find you guilty. I was down and watched her work a couple, 3 weeks ago, and I watched a woman walk out of that courtroom absolutely stunned with what happened because she felt that she'd made her case. And I said, well, yeah, you think you made your case against a beyond reasonable doubt standard? Well, yes, she says. I says, no, ma'am. That's where you're mistaken. And this is a lawyer.
Oh, really?
I said, in traffic court, it really is one of those reasonable suspicion / probable cause levels. It is not what you're entitled to. And I don't know what the fix for that is, except an honest jurist. And I don't know that the judges in this county will allow an honest jurist to sit that job.
I asked the nice little cop, I said, well, can I have a jury? He said, no, it's an infraction.
That's correct. It's an infraction. You don't get a jury. But the good news is, Asa, they can't throw you in jail.
That is the good news.
Okay. But you keep me posted on what goes down there, and they will tax you very heavily as far as standing in line and doing all this stuff to get into court. But I recommend that you get down there at a time when nobody's planning to go to court and set your time to get into court and then work from there. I've got Michael Z on line 6, so I'm gonna stop and talk to him.
No, I thank you.
You bet, Asa.
Bye-bye.
Love talking to you. And is that really Michael Zwirling on line 6? Michael, is that you?
Hey, Quig, how are you?
Well, I'm just fine, sir. To what
drive? Actually, I should know because I've been listening. No, what prompted me to call? Real simple question.
Sure.
You were talking about you're not people get down on you for practicing law without a license or something?
What did you
say a minute ago?
I've had people allude to that from time to time when I've been down at traffic court, especially helping people. Never on the air, they've never bothered me.
Right. Well, my question to you is, can't you say whatever you believe and state it as opinion? And I don't think you could ever be accused. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I don't think you could ever be accused of practicing law without a license if you don't collect a penny.
Well,
for the advice.
Yeah, that's one of them funny lines, and it really depends on the court and the judge as to what they determine, Michael. But the fact is that to practice law without a license, you got to hang out a shingle. Secondly, you got to go without the disclaimer. And I always tell people, I try to couch things in terms of what I would do if I were in their situation.
Yeah. Can anybody cause any problems for you for giving people advice, saying, here's what I would do if I were you,
and not
collecting any kind of a fee for it? If you were collecting a fee for it and you're not licensed by the California Bar, I could certainly understand that.
Well, just between you and me, nobody's licensed by the California Bar, but that's an old other story for another show.
Oh. All right.
They're admitted to the bar, but none of these guys have a license.
Uh-huh.
None of them have a license. In fact, I don't even think they have business licenses, the lawyers. But No, there's been a couple of threats of that, and I've always invited it. Come on, you know, because the First Amendment covers a lot of ground, and I would stand squarely behind the First Amendment, but I'm not the
leader. So why did you mention that earlier today? It's something, but it would indicate that, it's on your mind and it is of some concern.
Well, I have to when people are, because there are folks out there that see what I do as somehow or other detrimental to the system. I have to make sure that I dot all my I's and cross my T's when it gets into areas of law. So although I will talk about legal theories without anything, Asa was dealing with a specific situation where she had a ticket and I think was wanting me to coach her on what to do.
Uh-huh.
And so I can do that to the degree that I use the disclaimer. But I'm not nervous about it. I'm not paranoid
about
it.
And I think you and, or I think I, or I think anybody could get on the air and say that. Here's what I would do if I were you. Here's what I, it doesn't mean it's the right thing. It doesn't mean it's the wrong thing. And I don't think any of us have to be afraid that someone's going to go after us for practicing law without a license.
I worry less about me than I do you, Michael.
Okay.
Okay, I do that. I did that where I did it relative to the station, because if they decided they wanted to make a broad sweep, you know, and because I didn't do some disclaimer, they could probably take a shot at you, too. So today, that's the reason that I brought it up. But I generally use that when I'm talking to anybody about these things. Because
I understand.
I know just enough to get people in trouble if they do what I would advise, but I know just enough not to advise them to do anything. You follow me?
I think so.
I love this radio station, you know. I do enjoy the show down here, Michael. And I got a couple more callers on the line. We got a lot of stuff talked about. I'm going to get to the Blue Lagoon case before I get off the air, and I'm getting ready to run some commercials.
Oh, good.
Did you have any more questions?
No. Just wanted to talk. We covered it. Thanks.
I appreciate you calling in, sir.
Take care.
Okay. Well, I got to pay attention. I didn't know that the owner of the station actually listened to me. Okay, what we're going to do, we are going to do just as I suggested. We're going to go ahead and run some spots. And Bill, Robert, hold on. I will get to you in just a minute, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going to Capitola Mall, where good things happen. At the Capitola Mall, you'll find a shopper's paradise with over 100 stores anchored by Macy's, Sears, Gottschalk's, and Mervyn's. A great selection of food and all your friends. Put some good things into your day. Head for Capitola Mall at 1855 41st Avenue, just off Highway 1. The Capitola Mall, where good things happen for you. I'm speaking to Jungle Plant owner Dale Crable about good reasons to choose Jungle Plant for your interior plantscaping needs. So you have 17 years experience maintaining interior plants in the Monterey Bay area.
Yes.
When you place a special order, is delivery free?
Yes.
The on-site consultations are free as well?
Oh, yes.
You also install and maintain self-watering containers?
Uh-huh.
And the T-shirts look really nice?
Yes, they do.
So call 462-2236 for Jungle Plant Interior Plant Services. KSCO Radio is proud to bring you the Central Coast Section Football Playoffs. Hello, everyone. I'm Bill Graham. This Friday night at 7 p.m., KSCO is proud to bring you the first round of the playoffs, featuring our own Aptos Mariners against the football team from Menlo Atherton High School. It ought to be a great contest. Our game Friday night is brought to you in part by the Capitola Mall, by Coldwell Banker Carl Conley Realtors, by Joyce Tire Service, by Ocean Chevrolet, by Outdoor World, by the Ben Lomond Super, and by Play It Again Sports. Join Doug Winfrey and me as we bring you high school football. Don't miss the number 2 ranked Aptos Mariners as they take on the number 7th ranked team from Menlo Atherton this Friday night at 7 p.m. right here on AM 1080 KSCO.
Okay, as promised, we're going to go ahead and take a call from Bill up in Felton, find out what Bill's got on traffic referees. Bill, welcome to KSCO. Your new caller?
No.
Okay.
Asa can go to court, plead not guilty, and then disqualify that judge. That referee.
Yeah, I understand that. And you know where they'll send her?
They sent me someplace, and it worked out pretty good.
Yeah, sometimes they send you up to see one of the commissioners, but right now they got a guy that's practicing in courtroom one, and if they sent me up to see the guy in courtroom one, I wouldn't be going. It's our used to be your supervisor up there in your district, and I don't I don't respect him. I don't think he made it as a judge, but that's just me. He might prove to be a real good one. I'm just really bothered about that.
Well, that's all.
But anyway, yeah, you're right. They can disqualify her. Bill, thank you very much for that information. If you're listening, Asa, you got that. That is true. You can disqualify her. What they'll ask you to do is a 170.6, which is a penal code section that allows you to disqualify a judge without having to say why. And so that'll work. Let me see. I got a George from La Silva sends me a note, says maybe it's time to make peace with your parents. Well, I'd have to dig them up to do that. And the new traffic referee is a woman by the name of Kim Baskin. Kim Baskin. And she's the one that used to defend all the civil rights cases that were filed against the county. She'd come in and cover the county, argue these cases for them. And I guess she's a good attorney. I sat her in the courtroom. She didn't want me to testify as an expert. She said that she knew the law. She didn't need an expert to testify on the helmet law. And, of course, we'll see. The decision on that case is supposed to come out in December. I'll let you know how that worked out. And then there's another fax in from Jim in Aptos. Says, I've noticed over the past few weeks that Mr. O'Reilly has his no-spin zone, keeps referring to driving as a privilege and not a right. Yeah. There's a lot of things that Mr. O'Reilly could learn from me. One of them is that the right to use the roadways, not the right to travel, but the right to use the roadways is the preeminent right there, and it is guaranteed by the right. The right to use the roadways is guaranteed by the right to travel. So those things sort of got hung up in 1995. When the legislature found and declared that driving was a privilege. And for those of you that don't know, that is when it happened, was 1995. Anyway, Robert in Santa Cruz, we got on the line about traffic referees, and then I got to get back to this Blue Lagoon case. But Robert, talk to me. Welcome to KSCO.
Hey, Richard.
Oh, Mr. Morris, how you doing?
Good. Just a couple of quickies. You should have people write down 170.6 CCP. Because they won't tell you that at the window when you go up to disqualify the judge. You have to give the number. You used to be able to write a letter saying I'm disqualifying the judge, but apparently too many people were, well, the referee, were disqualifying Mulligan, and I guess now this new person that you've referred to. So you got to actually give the number. If the couple wanted, if the woman who wants to do that, who got the seatbelt ticket, she has to say that. You can also, by the way, find out who you're going to get before you get that person. You can ask them, if I disqualify this referee, who will I get? And it will either be probably Almquist or Siegel.
Yeah. They're letting Almquist they're letting him practice with what they consider not that important cases right now, which is probably just as well. I was watching him practice the other day.
Right, or malpractice the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the point is you can ask who's going to be next, and you won't be able to change the order of things, but if you're really game, you can come back again and try again if you don't want that particular judge or commissioner. So that's one thing. Another thing I advise people to do is go read the law. Go get the text of the law that you are charged with violating, and you can get it in the law library, which is right next to the basement
yep.
window where you do all this disqualifying.
Yep.
You need to have a copy of that law to read it over, and then you can also actually get some assistance from the law librarian about what past decisions have been about it. And as you point out, there's a book called Fight Your Ticket.
Yep,
in the library.
Press, and they're real good at that. Thank you very much, Robert. I hope Ace is listening. No, I know she is. I don't need to hope she is. I know she is, and that's the way that it is. Ace, I hope you see everybody's in your corner here. Ed's called in from Aptos to talk to us. Ed, welcome to KSCO.
Hi, Richard. I just brief comment. I wanted to thank you and Robert Norris for what you guys do. Listen, when they send you down, when you go down to the basement, I found for a camping ticket, they show you the law room with all the various books on the walls, and point you to a computer. Now, if you're computer illiterate and you don't know which one of those, I don't know, 200-plus books to look through, you're in trouble. So I'm glad that he called in and clarified that, because they will run. They ran me through the rigmarole, and the only way I got out of it was Robert referred me to attorney Chris Fredrickson, and she went through it, and they knew, and also Robert talked to him, and they knew that he knew, and that's the only thing that cleared it up, because I would have ended up. A lot of poor people probably just give up. They're computer illiterate. They don't know which book to go to.
Well, and it's awfully intimidating. The person that you deal with in traffic court is wearing the same look of a robe as that superior court judge, upstairs. And so
right.
you that you would think that that robe carries with it a certain amount of honor, and it's just, that's not at all. It depends on who the judge is that's wearing it, and that's what people need to start to understand that about all these uniforms, whether it's a judge's robe or a cop's uniform,
right,
or the ticket taker at the Bayview Theater. You know what I mean? It's just
right.
The uniforms may or may not stand for anything, depending on who's got them on. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. The law library is real good, though, about helping people find stuff. Yeah.
Well, they kind of appeared to be helpful, but they weren't helpful.
Well, there's,
this is getting on about a year ago.
Yeah, we're locked in again. We're locked into that situation where they've got to be particularly careful about what they say, because these guys that want to shut down your ability to know what you're doing,
right,
will call any information that is given to you legal advice and go after the person that gives it to you. And you and I both know that what you're seeking is legal information. And they will continue to withhold legal information in the name of not giving you legal advice. And when I say they, I'm talking about the bad guys. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That was one of the first lessons I learned.
I just had one question. I just wonder how many poor people go in there and they get treated like that, sent to the law office, da-da-da-da-da, and then they get so frustrated and they leave, and then they end up having warrants.
Or all kinds of stuff, yeah. There's
Thank
a
you,
ton
Richard.
Of that. All right, I'll talk
Thank
to you,
you
later. Thank you much. And I'm not going to miss this call. This is Vernon, 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 and I'm going to tell you something, Vernon. I owe you a huge apology. I intended to start off my show today by thanking you for filling in for me so well last week.
Call it to someone who cares.
Okay.
So, you know, Richard, two things. First
okay.
of all, I'll do the helmet law one real quick. Is what came up, what I thought about when you mentioned trauma doctors, right?
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is that they always talk about the cost to society.
Yes.
I suggest the solution to that issue is if someone wants to volitionally not wear a helmet, and they go down and crack their brains.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Huh?
Here we go.
No, that is a reasonable cause of that. They need to sign and say they assume responsibility for themselves.
I would do it in a minute. I would do it in
a
minute.
I know you would.
But the fact of the matter is that you couldn't do that in the first place. And secondly, that is not fair, because you cannot do to one person what you won't do to all. Rock climbers don't have to do that. Skiers don't have to do that. My God, man, do you know how many people...
No, but I understand. We don't. You know, we treat them or don't. The bottom line is people have those choices. And
exactly.
we'll do the helmet law later, because I want to actually hit something else very quickly that I think is of ultimate importance with the tickets and everything.
Okay, if you would.
Unfortunately, as a society, it's one of the things that's become troubling to me, is that we have been dealt some major blows by corrupt... legislators, the whole system's a mess.
Yes.
And we feel very proud when we find a way to circumvent it and work around it and defeat it, when in fact all that's done is help perpetuate a corrupt system. And what we need to start at that level to win at the game that's already been established. We also need to start working to reverse a system that requires us to do that.
Well, and okay, ACES...
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. ACES case is a prime example. If $76 for two seatbelt tickets does not constitute an unreasonable fine, then there won't be one. The penalty. Vernon, do you know what the penalty is for driving without proof of insurance?
No, but I can imagine it's
Now,
outrageous.
This is a traffic court ruling. This is something handed down by the traffic court, by a referee who is nothing except a glorified clerk, by the way. These are not judges. These are just clerks that happen to have the job of sitting on the bench up there and pretending to be a judge. Anywhere from $900 to $1,500. You got that?
That's absolutely absurd.
Okay, no, it's obscene.
It's absurd and obscene.
Yes, and $140 for a moving violation, $76 for a helmet ticket. I mean, you know...
And even if you can find a way to win the case, Richard, it does not resolve the problem of
exactly.
The obscene system. And I hear people talk about that all the time in society is, well, you can get around it this way or that way. The bottom line is that is true. You know, you can find ways to beat the system working within it without it, all that stuff. The bottom line is we shouldn't have to be doing that. We need to be, you know, I've talked about this before. We need to get active and get out there.
I wish people would get as active about what they hear on this show and what they should do, what they can do to make things better. as they did when they were trying to get me thrown off the air a couple of weeks ago, man. Yeah. If they would send half the letters and make half the phone calls to these bureaucrats that are running this stuff, as they made to this station to try to get me zapped because they didn't understand my show a couple of weeks ago, we would have all the help we could muster.
You know, and one closing comment about rewarding bad behavior. Remember Measure B that was on the ballot?
Yeah.
It was supposed to solve the school closings?
Sure.
They rewarded Measure B by passing a property tax that was supposed to save the schools.
Yep.
And what are you reading in the paper these days?
Well, they got a new sales tax coming.
Yeah. Well, they haven't proposed that one yet. I sent that to Scharfenberg. They keep talking about they don't have any money, like the little shop of horrors in the plant.
Yeah.
Feed me.
Yep.
And there will never be enough. Anyway.
That's correct. Well, thanks again for doing the show last week.
No, you're welcome.
Look forward to talking to you again.
Later.
You bet.
Bye.
And past call from Santa Cruz. I'm never going to get back to the Blue Lagoon today, but that's okay. That's why God made next week. Pat, what's up in Santa Cruz? Whoop, did I not push the button hard enough? Well, must have gone away. Okay, then I will talk about the Blue Lagoon. If I cut him off, I'm sorry. Call back, Pat. We'll get you on. The Blue Lagoon case. The short version of it is, The city attorney, who is paid by the hour, allowed the police department to act in a manner inconsistent with the constitutional rights of the people that own the Blue Lagoon. The Blue Lagoon was finally forced by these people to file suit. When they filed suit, the behavior all changed. But you guys are looking at the newspaper stories on these, and we're going to do a longer in-depth thing on this next week because I ran out of time this time. But what you need to know are a couple very important facts. One is the city attorney in Santa Cruz is paid by the hour. Two, Watsonville, the city attorney, is ready to fix the problem with the helmets. The attorney in Santa Cruz is writing insulting letters to me explaining all the reasons why I need to sue them to make them act right. They're trying to use me to get another case going like Blue Lagoon so that they and their friends can bill $500,000 to defend an indefensible position, by the way. The Blue Lagoon case is going to cost the city of Santa Cruz well over $1 million. $500,000 for the attorneys that are paid by the hour by Santa Cruz, another half to $750,000 or more by the attorneys for the plaintiffs. The judgment was for $113,000, and the things that you don't know that I just happened to is that early in that litigation, at least two different settlement conferences, the Blue Lagoon people were ready to settle. They had come to the table for a $20,000 settlement. Stop the behavior, $20,000. I understand they would have probably taken half of that. There were no attorney's fees on top of that. The city of Santa Cruz could have been out and away from that for as little as $10,000 and no more than $20,000. And what they did instead was put $500,000 in Vince Hurley's pocket. Don't know what the kickbacks are. $100,000 to just one witness that the city put on. And another, like I say, $500,000 to $750,000 to the prosecuting attorneys and $113,000. And you guys are getting ready to vote them a 0.25% sales tax? Sure, why don't you do that? Behavior that is rewarded will be repeated. You keep giving them that kind of money to spend for that kind of foolishness, and there will be no end to the ways they will find out to tax and tax and tax you. And now I want to try to see if I can get Pat on without losing. Did I cut you off a minute ago, Pat?
Yeah.
Oh, didn't mean to. What's up?
I won't take offense. I wanted to say, you're talking about drivers getting busted with no insurance and how you really get slapped with a big fine.
Sure.
There's a way around that. Be an illegal immigrant. Seriously.
Yeah, of course. No, and the fact that they're going to
time, no matter what they do, they let them go.
That's correct. And they are now talking about taking away their licenses. This Arnold thinks that he can actually unwind that thing that Gray Davis put in, and of course he can't. But the thing that's most stupid about that is that even if they're not likely to do it, the chances are that an illegal without a driver's license can buy insurance is absolutely zip point none. He can't. You can't buy insurance if you don't have a license. So we are preventing the ones that might buy a liability insurance from getting one by their not having licenses.
If you want to bitch about taxes, I suggest you take a hard look at that and make a show out of it.
I was planning to get that in as a lead-in for next week's show, but I think what I'm going to do next week is end up talking about the Blue Lagoon again. But thank you very much for your call, Pat,
right.
And observation. Appreciate that. Looks like we're running out of time now, which is the way it's supposed to be, as we got more callers and we got time to deal with them. This has been United States Freedom Fighter Forum. I'm Richard Quigley on KSCO AM 1080 in Santa Cruz. It's been my pleasure to be here today. Be my pleasure to see you next weekend or next Thursday. Thank you, Michael. We're out of here.